Praise the Lord.
Can all dads stand up, please? All dads, all dads. All dads. Can we just give our dads a loudest clap offering? Yay! Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. You can sit now. Yeah. Being a dad is not easy. Correct? Sometimes, right, if you have seen the videos of dads that are fully aware, even though he's doing something, and then suddenly he will catch the baby, right, or do something that is like forecasting what will happen. Dads have that kind of mindset, right? So our topic today is about a dad that honors God. We will answer the question, what are the responsibilities of a father that honors God? We in our church, we always say, we honor God and make disciples. And one thing that you would hear today is that, what are the responsibilities of a father so that you could honor God? Now, you might be saying, this is just a one-sided message today. But if you are a single mom, you are a dad as well. And if you are a woman or a wife, you always go hand in hand with your husband. So you work together in upholding the family. And if you are a single, you are not forever single. Okay? One day you will become a dad, one day you will become a mom, and you have to have these responsibilities. You will have these responsibilities for you to honor God as well as a member of the family. Now, what are we learning today? So, fathers will know the responsibilities of a dad that honors God. Fathers will understand the responsibilities of a dad to their family, and fathers will do the necessary things to become a dad that honors God. Now, let's all stand up as we give reverence to the Word of God. Let's read the book of 1 Thessalonians 2:11 to 12. Let's all read. For you know that we dealt with each other as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity that you have given me, Lord God, to preach your holy words to our church today. Thank you, O Lord God, for the text. Thank you, O Lord God, because you are going to help us. You're going to teach us today how to become responsible parents, to be responsible dads, O Lord God, of our family, O Lord. And Lord, we just want to greet you, Lord. Happy Father's Day, because you are faithful, O Lord God. You're always there, O Lord God. You are omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. And I pray, O Lord God, let your Holy Spirit be upon in each and every one of us. Guide every word that will come out of my mouth. And I pray, give us understanding, O Lord God, through your words today. Thank you, Lord. We commit to you, Lord, this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all sit. Now, church, I will introduce to you, okay, maybe this is the way how I honor my dad, and I'm appreciating my dad today. So this is my dad. So his full name is Armando Diaz Ocampo. People will call him Pastor Mandy. Okay, so he's already retired. He's residing in South Carolina. Okay, but he is a pastor for a lot of years. When I was little, backstory, my dad will always bring me wherever he is. He will go to the mountains. He will bring me. He will go to another village or another church. He will always bring me. So I'm just this like little shadow until until the day that I grew and I told my dad, "Dad, I will move out of your shadow once I get married to start my own family." And I thank God because my dad trained me all these years while I am in his shadow. And for you, Dad, I love you. And hope to see you next year. He will be visiting here next year. So, looking forward to that. If you will know, I'm not good as a public speaker. He enrolled me to a public speaking class so that I could speak properly in front of an audience. He also taught me how to do Bible studies, taught me how to preach. And most of the time when he is preaching, I am sleeping. But nevertheless, all of his examples, I could still remember. I don't know why. Subliminally, I am hearing them. But my dad is awesome. And I thank you. And I thank the Lord for my dad. Now, I want to give you a background of Thessalonians, okay? So that you could understand the context of what the Lord has put me. Imagine, I don't have a text because Pastor didn't give me any text for this. So it's a challenge. Lord, there's a lot of texts about fatherhood. Lord, I asked the Lord, what's the text? What's the text? I don't know. Saturday morning around 6 a.m., he gave me this text. Okay. Now, there is something I could start on. But you will see here that Paul wrote this letter around AD 49-51. Written to the church in Thessalonica during Paul's second missionary journey. Okay, the purpose of this letter is for them to restore their hope, which has been tested by unexpected deaths in the church, with the reassurance that believers in Christ will be safe in his second coming. Imagine that. So, it tells also about Paul's stress on the authenticity of himself. So we're going to look at that because Silas and Timothy, as preachers of the gospel, persecution is normal for Christians and challenges them to take responsibility for earning their own living. And then the central theme here is Jesus' second coming. Imagine a Thessalonian book is about second coming. All right? That's the whole gist of it. And the question is, Brother AJ, why are you telling about second coming when it's Father's Day? Right? And then, when he returns, the dead who believe in Christ will rise and join the living to meet the Lord. Unbelievers will experience God's wrath while believers will inherit salvation. Now, church, you might be asking, why quoting the book of Thessalonians on the context of second coming, and it's Father's Day? What's the connection? We dads have we all have dreams for our children, correct? Sometimes, like, I want you to become an architect. I want you to become a pastor. I want you to do with this, do with this, do with that, do with that. We all have dreams for our children, correct? Give me a thumbs up if you agree. Yes. So if you agree, sometimes we overlook what's the most important thing. And that is preparing our children for eternity. The now will be now, but what happens when our children die? Are they ready for heaven? Are they ready for eternity? That's the question. And that's what Paul is telling the people of Thessalonica, that we need to look forward on eternity as Christians. And as fathers, we have to look at those things. You will see here, I'll stress on the Paul's stress on authenticity of himself. You will see that there are verses in Thessalonians that Paul is saying, in verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, "We speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. Then another we. In verse 6, we were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. And in verse 8, you will see, we love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Imagine, if you are a missionary on a journey, the congregation is your children. And that's why you will see even in verse 9, you will see, we work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. That's a very fatherly figure. You know, my dad, even he is a full-time pastor, he is also full-time working, just like Paul. He is a full-time insurance agent. So he was selling insurance while being a full-time minister as well. And in verse 11, you will know, for you know that we dealt with each other for you as a father. So they're comparing themselves as a father. And those are the characteristics, okay, that we are going to see today. What are the responsibilities of a father that honors God? Point number one, a father deals with his children. You will see in verse 11, as a father deals with his own children. Take note, do you deal another child? Do you spank another child that is not yours? No, right? No. That will be a crime, right? If you're going to hit another child because you want to discipline. No, the Bible says very clearly, father deals with his own children. So if it is your son, your child, your daughter, it is your responsibility to deal with your own. You don't let your neighbor, can you discipline my child because it's like this? No, you don't do that. The Bible says very clear, deal with his own children. Now, let's see the definition of deal is to concern oneself or itself or to take action with regard to someone or something. It is your responsibility to deal with your own children. Okay. You will see here in Hebrews 12, 5 to 6, and have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. God loves us. Our Father is perfect. He disciplines us so that we could have a better life. If our Father in heaven sees that there's something wrong in us, he will discipline us. We, fathers, parents, discipline your children. You discipline your children because they do something wrong. You see that they are always going to the left or to the right already. Being influenced by friends, being influenced by the internet. Who among you loves this? I remember my dad when he disciplines me. I think first time he uses a very hard rubbered slipper. I don't like it. And then when I got older, it turns to a belt. So you can see all the red lines here. But as I grew, my dad was disciplining me like face to face. It progressed. It became more practical. as we age. So you don't spank a grown-up boy already. That's very humiliating. But you know the seasons where it is needed. Now, the Bible says, whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. It is biblical to spank your son. If it is the purpose of disciplining and teaching. Take note, whenever I spank my daughter, right? What I do as a dad, I will talk to that to her. I will talk to Rain, especially Rain. She had a lot of spanking from me. I will always talk to her before I spank her. Why am I going to spank you? You have to have that clarity of explaining why am I spanking you? What did you do wrong? And then after that, I will spank her like 3-5 times. And then after that, we will pray. And she will cry. But you don't spank without even explaining why you need to have this. No, you always have to explain so that your child will have a very big picture of why they are getting spanked. Don't give them any clueless, okay, why am I getting spanked? I'm clueless. No. You always have to explain, then spanking, and then pray. So that the lesson that you have taught your child will retain in her heart. So it's biblical. So don't be scared of spanking your children. But always put it in context. Always explain. Always do it out of love. Now, point number two. A father encourages his children. So you will see here there the second characteristic that Paul was focusing is encouraging. Now, to encourage is to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. To attempt or to persuade, to spur on, to stimulate, and to give help or patronage. Last month, I was in KL because I have to support my daughter. She was singing in one of the international schools there, so she was singing. So I have to encourage, to give her support. And my dad, I still remember this very beautiful lesson. It is my dad who taught me how to drive. But there is one time, okay, my dad was so sleepy. I was driving, so he got super confident of my driving skill. He was so sleepy by my side. And while turning to our garage, I slammed the car on a post of our house. So it took, and it the repairs was around 1,500 ringgit. What happened there is that my dad didn't get angry. He was okay. This is out of our budget already, but. It didn't stop him from encouraging me. You can drive. One day you can drive. One day you can drive. He is always encouraging. Even I failed miserably, my dad still encouraged me. Are we like that to our children? Many times, our children will fail. Many times your children will be what? Will experience hardships in life. But are we encouraging them to push them forward? To make the next step to become better as a person? So we encourage, we continue to encourage our children. Bible says very clearly in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Have you seen a Lego before? My daughter will, and Rainbow and I will play Lego. So I will build the Lego for 4 hours, and then she will destroy it in 10 minutes. But what you see there is that our children are like Lego bricks. You're building them up. You don't discourage them, because once they get discouraged, it will affect their personality in the end. As they grow, it's like you're passing the torch to the next generation. If you pass the torch of discouragement to your children, your child will pass the torch of discouragement to their children. But if you will pass a torch of encouragement to your child will encourage others. My dad will just encourage me most of the time. Even though it's hard, he will encourage me. And now I am encouraging my children. You, as a dad, you have to encourage your children. You don't discourage. They may fail. That's fine. Life is filled with failures. But how you build them up, you can build it up. It's how many times you stand up again is what counts. But if you will, you're a loser, you're like that, you're declaring those things to your child, stop it right now. Because you have to instill encouragement. You have to instill blessings on your children. Number three, a father comforts his children. I still remember one of my photographs of Jude while he's carrying Micah. He's hugging Micah like this. And I like that photograph so much. And Rainbow, most of the time, will sleep on my chest. Even Rain. Sometimes Rain still wants to sleep here. She's so big now, I cannot breathe anymore. But when they were little, they were all sleeping on my chest. Why? Because my dad, I had a picture with my dad. I was sleeping on his chest. So I was doing that also to my children. So very comforting. Now, you will see here the third responsibility is comforting. As a parent, you need to comfort your children. So comfort is to give strength and hope and to give ease the grief of or trouble. Sometimes your children will experience depression, correct? They will be brokenhearted, I'm telling you. They will be brokenhearted. I am brokenhearted during my teenage years. I tried courting a lot of girls. They all turned me down. And I will always cry. It's only Joy who answered who responded to my proposal. My first girlfriend and my only wife. Imagine that. But before her, it's heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. There's a lot of heartbreaks. And one of the worst ones was I had a 2 years of crying with a girl. But take note, my dad was there. My parents are there comforting me. You know, you will see that there's a lot of suicides right now. You see the statistics? There's a lot of suicides right now. Why? Because they are lacking comfort. We as parents, you need to have that comfort. You have to let that channel of communication open with your children. Should not be like there's a wall, your dad, your child, there's a big wall, you cannot open up. There should always be an open wall, open door for them to open up with you. So that you will know how to comfort them. And that they could open up to you and that you will not be mad if they open up to you. My wife and I will always tell to our children, if you have any problem, let us know. Rather than you keeping secrets to us, let us know. We'll try to our best to understand you and comfort you. Because when they find comfort in our homes, you are lessening, you are eliminating the chances of suicide from children. You are also lessening their dependence on their friends, them opening up to their friends, and then you don't know that you will hear the problem from their friends, not from you, not from your child. So as a parent, God is telling you to be comforting. You still remember when you have your little child trying to walk? Sometimes they will fall. Sometimes you want to. You know that for a child, it is comforting that their dad is there, that your mom is there guiding them. You know, I always see God as my super big dad. And I want you to see God that way. That is so super big. I always picture myself as that little child needing the Lord's comfort. Needing that I know that my God is there, my Father is there, my Heavenly Father is there just by my side, standing by my side. Sometimes I just pray, Lord, hold my hand. I'm just a little child. And God wants you that your children will see that as well in you so that they could see that they could depend on God with their lives, especially when the parents are not there anymore. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 4, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Imagine that. Our God is our God of comfort. Therefore, when you get that comfort from God, you can comfort others. You can comfort your family. And lastly, a father urges his children to have lives worthy of God. Yes, we are building them up to be successful, to be responsible citizens of this world. But the most important of all is that we urge them to have lives worthy of God. You don't know when God is coming back. Anytime. The Bible says very clearly in Thessalonians that in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. No one knows when God will come. But God is telling us, are you preparing your children for eternity? Are we bringing up our children with the fear of the Lord? Are we training them up in the way that they should go? So you are we urging it? Are we pushing them? So urge means to stimulate, to undertake the accomplishment with energy, swiftness, and enthusiasm. Are we pushing our children so that they will know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Are you having that time reading the Bible, praying together as a family, meditating on God's Word? It can be a start of just one verse a day. At least your children will have 365 Bible verses in a year rather than nothing at all. Maybe time for you to start now. It's not too late. It's not too late. I hope today's lesson, today's message will equip parents, will equip fathers of their responsibility as leaders of the household. Take note, God is your leader, our fathers is the second there in command, and then the whole family follows. Are you leading by example so that your children will see, this is my dad. This is my dad. I am proud of my dad. Or your children will say, oh, my dad is drunk again. My dad is partying. My dad has no time for me. No. Are we being a dad that God wants us to be? Proverbs 22, verse 6, start children off on the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Imagine, you put a seed of the Word of God in your children's lives. It will be there until the end of time. And lastly, these commandments that I have given you today to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Imagine, impress them. Stamp it to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Have that constant communication of training, imparting biblical truths with your children at an early age. As I end today, wives, I want you to be prayerful. Pray for your husbands so that they may become men of God that God wants them to be. For children, I know there's a lot of children here. Pray for your parents. Pray for your parents. And dads, let's pray and bless our fathers to be reminded of their responsibility so that they could honor God as they lead their families towards Him. I hope today's message is meaningful on Father's Day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for you are the best example of a perfect father. We dads here are not perfect, but we can look up to you, O Lord God, because you are the God of comfort. You are the perfect example of what a father should be. Lord, as I pray, Lord God, for the fathers in this place today and the parents that are here in this place today, I pray, O Lord God, that you will help them, Lord, deal with their children. Help them, O Lord God, to be encouraging towards their children. Help them, O Lord God, to be comforting to their children. And help us, O Lord, to urge our children, O Lord God, closer to you, knowing that any time of the day you can come. Help us, Lord, prepare our families for eternity. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful message today. We praise you, we thank you, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you, church.
Amen.